House Bill 1067, an act to prohibit school boards from employing any person whose certificate has been revoked or suspended.
House Bill 1067, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, member of the body. As many people know, I'm a 30-year teacher. This bill is supported by SDEA, by DECA, by Associated School Boards. I believe it's a move to keep quality education. Someone who's had their certificate revoked does not need to be a teaching individual in our schools. Thank you, sir.
Further remarks on House Bill 1067. Representative Koistra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I rise in opposition to House Bill 1067. It was explained to you in brief detail, but there's more to it. The bill seems harmless enough because we all want the best teachers and the qualified teachers in the classroom. But what this bill does, two things. One, it's going to take away some of the local control, and it will also give more control to the state. And secondly, what we're talking about here is suspension versus revoking a license. Teachers, now they must follow standard good practices, code of ethics, and we have statute in place to ensure that. Gross immorality, incompetence, neglect of duty should not be tolerated, nor should any teacher that commits a crime involving moral turpitude or drugs, etc., be tolerated. We all agree on that. There's no question. However, when you're dealing not with revoking but suspension, and we're talking jumping or breaking contracts often, well, what happens when you're dealing with a contract on the local level, it should be a local issue, and it can go to the state on suspension. But when there's a suspension, oftentimes there's an appeal that does take place. Case in point, you take an English teacher that probably was assigned as cheerleader advisor or assistant girls basketball and fails to show up in mid-August when practice starts. This basically could be a local issue. True, they can ask the state to suspend her, and they just may do that, and they can. And the secretary stated he'd support that. Again, while an appeal takes place, you mean to tell me that this teacher cannot apply and get a position, be it a teacher another position at another place, a teacher aide, extracurricular activity, be it bus driver, etc.? I don't buy that. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk. I will waive the reading.
That would be Amendment 1067-CA.
That is correct.
Is there a second? Comments on the motion to amend?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What the amendment does, again, it does nothing with revoking. We want that in place. But when we're dealing with the suspension part, and the bill will read, no school board may employ a person whose certificate is revoked for reasons of gross immorality pursuant to, and we already have that in place, or for the conviction of a crime pursuant to state statute. And I think by doing this is what we want. The rest is all covered by law. So again, I would ask you for support of this amendment. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Davis.
Mr. Speaker, could I address the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
I was very sold on this bill this morning in education when the example given was a criminal act. But as we went on and talked about contracts, not showing up for the first day of work, I thought, welcome to the real world. There, any time that someone gets offered a better contract, this tends to happen. And in most teaching contracts are fines that are imposed if you don't show up when you're supposed to, fines that say if you are late, what you pay. This what's happened goes on in the real world, in every other kind of employment. We don't say if you choose not to come to work for us tomorrow, we are going to say you cannot work in your area of expertise as long as your contract is void or revoked. I agree with Representative Cloister. I agree that people who have criminal or immoral reasons for having their contracts revoked or suspended should not be in any school setting or around children. But I also believe we have to look at this with an open mind and look at it as something that happens in the real world when you get a better job offer, that sometimes this happens, you go to court, you pay a fine, you pay to get out of your contract, and I think that's the way that should be handled. So I would encourage you to vote for Representative Cloyster's amendment and then pass the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, House Bill 1067. Representative Koistinen.
I would like to comment on that just briefly, and I agree with Representative Koistra. When you look at the law 1342.9, it isn't just for immorality or crimes, it also includes incompetency and violation of the code of ethics. Also, we're talking about not just banning them from employment of teaching, but for any other employment that they would perhaps want to do or could do. Whether it be, you know, some people when they're incompetent in teaching, I've seen it when I was teaching, they are not good teachers, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't make a good janitor, a maintenance engineer, whatever you want to call them, field supervisor, working on the taking care of the buildings. Some people are not equipped to do certain things that they go into. For that reason, I would suggest adopting Representative Koistra's motion.
Further remarks on House Bill 1067. Representative Holbeck.
Mr. Speaker, in this case here, we have a lot of schools that have presently put into their policy and into their negotiated agreement fines for people when they ended up breaking their contracts. And I'm going to tell you, in a shortage of teacher situations, we have a lot of movement going on in our state from school to school, and it's quite evident in these schools that teachers are breaking contracts. And today, if a school has a fine policy in place, they cannot ask for a suspension of that certificate. They cannot do both. And most schools do have that policy. If a school doesn't have it, they do have the right to go to the Secretary of Education and ask for a suspension of that certificate. And it happens rarely. I think that for the profession, we need to end up saying that the schools have the right, that if somebody comes to them at the last minute, or maybe even into the school year, and leaves the school hanging, possibly even on grounds where they knew they were going to do this and wait until the last minute, I think schools do have the right to ask to have that certificate suspended. I'm a little afraid that if we say it's only in that area that they lose their suspended certificate from, you're going to end up finding that people are going to do creative job descriptions and the person will still continue to do what they were doing before. I would rise in opposition to this amendment and hope that we end up failing it.
Further remarks,
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the offending language is in 1342.9, where it says, talks about gross immorality, nobody questions that. Incompetency, nobody questions that. Violation of the code of the ethics, nobody questions that. Something that would have prevented the issue of the contract, you're a felon, you're a sex offender, nobody questions that. But it says plain violation of the contract. And I ask you, in what other profession can you name any where if a person violates their contract, and I know an individual who broke their contract on the 1st of August and had their certificate suspended in the Mitchell School District, can you name any other profession in these United States where you are barred now and forever from ever practicing that profession again? That is exactly what this bill says without the Koistra Amendment. If you believe that missing a July 15th deadline or missing a June 1st deadline, and we have several in Mitchell, that if you believe that missing the deadline of June 1st, when many teachers do not retire until that point, or positions don't open up till that point, or placement services don't make job opportunities open to that point, if you think at that point that a person, regardless of where they are in their career, should be denied the opportunity of ever teaching in South Dakota again, then reject the Cloister Amendment. I think clearly the purpose of the bill was to say, if you expose yourself, you shouldn't have a captive audience to do that to. If you have a predilection for children, we should make it difficult for you to get to children. I have no quarrel with that. We do background checks. Sometimes they miss things. Sometimes individuals lie. Sometimes things come to light later. The bill with the Cloister Amendment deals with that. But if you believe in your heart of hearts that if somebody misses a June 1st deadline or a July 15th deadline, that they should never, ever in their lives be employed as a teacher again, vote the Cloister Amendment down and vote for the bill. I hope you don't do that. I hope you accept the amendment and then go on and accept the bill.
Further remarks, House Bill 1067. Does any member wish to speak before Representative Holbeck speaks a second time? Representative Van Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also share those concerns about contracting and about the civil rights of the teachers. I'd be gravely concerned if the sanction went too far for a violation of contract that the board or a local school district could remedy now under existing law. So again, I would join in that amendment. Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1067. Representative Holbeck.
After listening to Representative Olson, I'd have to almost want to change my mind, except that there's something erroneous in what he said. He is making the assumption that somebody will lose their certificate forever and ever. And when somebody breaks a contract, the general rule of thumb is it's for 1 year. And I don't think that's too harsh of a penalty when a school is left hanging and their kids do not have a teacher on the beginning day of school and possibly will not be able to replace that position until the next school year.
Further remarks, Representative Donovan.
I call the question, Mr. Speaker.
The question has been called, non-debatable motion. Those in favor of calling the question will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. The question has been called. The question for the House then is the Cloister motion to amend 1067 CA. Those in favor vote aye. Let's start that over. Voice vote. The motion before the House is the Cloister motion to amend. Representative Cloister has requested roll call. Is he supported? He is supported. The question for the House then is the Cloister motion to amend. Those in favor vote aye. Opposed, nay. Clerk will not the voting machine. Members will proceed to vote on the Cloister motion to amend.
Representative Valandra. Representative Valandra. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 34, nays 35, absent 1.
The Cloister motion to amend, having failed to receive the majority vote of members present, is hereby declared lost. Further remarks on House Bill 1067.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Olson.
One comment briefly. Representative Holbeck is correct in that reading. My only point is that if you suspend a person's livelihood, they're not going to stay in the state. They're going to leave and pursue their livelihood. And once they leave us for the greener pastures of Iowa or Minnesota or Nebraska, we will not get them back.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question for the House then is the final passage of House Bill 1067. Those in favor vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will not the voting machine. Members will proceed to vote. Final passage, House Bill 1067.
Representatives Don Hennies and all members present have voted.
Clerk, let's play the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 47, nays 23.
House Bill 1067, having received a majority vote, members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.